This is John Gramstrand, and I'm a certified energy specialist for CHS Ag Services in Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Coonan in studio. We'll have updates from Whitney Pittman and Sierra Doctor as well. The planters barely got out of the starting blocks last week before being sidelined again. Weekend rainfall totals include nearly 2.3 inches at Carrington, just over 2 inches at Jamestown, 1.12 inches at Fargo, and 56 hundredths at both Grand Forks and Ada. Rainfall totals also include a half an inch at Wadena, 24 hundredths at Rugby, 2/10 at Roseau. There is rain on the radar this morning, extending from the Canadian border into parts of southeastern North Dakota. Those areas receiving rain at this hour include Bow Bells, Minot, Carrington, and Valley City. There's another area with rain in southwestern North Dakota and northern South Dakota. The forecast this entire week is calling for off-and-on showers.
Negotiators were unable to reach an agreement on the approval of new vessels for moving grain in the Black Sea region. Russian President Putin has not responded to proposals to extend the grain deal. Russia has repeatedly said it would not extend the deal beyond its current May 18th expiration date.
The Minnesota Omnibus Agriculture, Finance, and Policy Bill is heading to the House and Senate for full approval. The conference committee approved the legislation Saturday. Senate Agriculture Committee Chair Eric Putnam praised the collaboration between the two chambers. Putnam said politicians can learn from farmers.
When you focus on solving problems and not on defending your ego, when you focus on doing your job and not on posing as a partisan or for a podcast, you actually can get good stuff done. And this bill, I think, represents that good work.
In recapping the bill, House Agriculture Committee Chair Samantha Vang cited a one-time $10 million investment in a grain indemnity fund to protect farmers when an elevator fails.
I'm happy that this fund will be a legacy of this year's agriculture budget bill. I'm also excited to see that we're making historic investments in emerging farmers than I have ever seen before my time here on committee.
The omnibus agriculture bill includes $4 million in the upcoming biennium and another $4 million in 26-27 for urban youth and agriculture. There's $4 million for the Dairy Assistance Investment Relief Initiative and $1.2 million over the next 2 years to expand the Emerging Farmers Office.
There are some areas in the omnibus ag bill that did not get the funding that was expected. The Senate Agriculture Committee bill called for $6 million for biofuels infrastructure, and the House version was at $3 million. However, the conference committee allocated only $750,000 to that effort. The Minnesota Agriculture Education Leadership Council, MEALC, was allocated $1 million in the Senate bill and $500,000 in the House language. Ultimately, MEALC received only $200,000 in that omnibus legislation.
According to the Minnesota Farm Bureau Federation public policy specialist, Caitlin Bemis, the omnibus agriculture finance bill was a good compromise.
The House and Senate versions were pretty different from each other, so there was a lot of negotiation throughout the week. But I feel like both urban ag and rural ag made out pretty well with the agreements they did have. Everybody kind of had to take a beating, and everybody also got a slice of the pie. So I think they came out with a pretty good agreement.
There was an initial proposal to change the makeup of the Minnesota Board of Animal Health, expanding it from 6 to 11 members with each congressional district represented. The final bill took the Board of Animal Health only from 6 to 7 members.
These three producers, three licensed veterinarians on companion animals, and then one federally recognized tribe member. The previous legislation had the governor also appointing the executive director or state veterinarian, which is generally appointed by the board itself. So we had concerns surrounding that. So I would say on the Board of Animal Health, we fared pretty well.
Language dealing with the use of treated seed was not included in the omnibus agriculture bill, but it is still being discussed in the environment bill.
U.S. Commodities President Don Rose says technical buying was a major feature of Friday's grain market as traders added war and weather premium into the market.
So technically, you corrected that. Fundamentally, I think when you get close to $5 on new crop corn. We went to $5.12, and you know, just getting too low. When you get close to $12.50 on November beans, just too low for this early in the season. And I think we had a lack of selling, and then some fundamental buying came into. Long growing season, yet we expect a lot of volatility this year just because we need to get a big crop out of the U.S.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. The U.S. dollar index has declined 2.3% since the start of 2023. Walsh trading owner John Walsh says keeping an eye on outside markets can play a big role in commodity market trends.
I think the dollar, the weakness in the dollar is paramount, and that's an important aspect relative to trade. The dollar continues to weaken, and given the macro policies of the administration, and I'm not saying pro or con, I'm just saying in general, the policy here is weakening the dollar, and so I think that's a major input here globally, and I think a person really needs to watch that.
Last week's jobs report played into a stronger market close this past week.
We got the jobs report. It was a bit of a surprise. More jobs were added than expected, and so you're getting a rally in the stock market based off of that. So there's a lot of stuff going on here globally and domestically to watch on a regular basis.
Congressional leadership will be making a trip to the White House tomorrow to discuss the debt ceiling. Biden administration and the Senate majority are pushing back on a House proposal that ties any action on the debt ceiling to deficit reduction. Without action, the administration says the federal government will go into default on its debts as soon as June 1st.
There's a lot to navigate when it comes to climate-smart agricultural practices and the programs available to farmers. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has that story.
Minnesota Farmers Union hosted a Climate Smart Commodities working group sharing information on projects funded through USDA's Partnerships for Climate Smart Commodities grant program. MFU's Climate and Working Lands Program Director Ariel Kagan says this group's purpose is to help producers and organizations answer questions.
You know, we're really excited about the historic investment that USDA has put into climate smart commodities. That's nationally $3.1 billion going into 141 projects across the country. In Minnesota, that's over 25 projects. As we were talking to folks, everyone was asking, you know, what other people knew about these projects. We just thought it would be a good idea to get everyone together to talk about what this all means and what we know, because each of us knows a little bit, but together we know a lot. We went through each of the projects that we know about and then talked sort of more broadly about how we can make sure that this drives value back to Minnesota family farmers.
The group will meet later in the year as more information is available on projects in the state.
I think we left the meeting really feeling energized by the importance of partnership and collaboration for these projects to be successful. So there are plans to reconvene in the fall or winter months, especially as more of the projects get contracted and start actually, you know, getting out on the landscape. We'll know a lot more in the coming months about what this really is going to look like.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network.
North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum has signed an executive order waiving hours of service requirements for commercial truckers hauling farm inputs. It includes seed, fertilizer, crop protection products, and more. The 30-day waiver is in response to the tight planting window.
As grain markets move higher, Ag Country Farm Credit Services Vice President of Insurance and Commodity Marketing, Rob Fronning, advises farmers to take advantage of price spikes.
You know, with volatility, I always say there's opportunity. And I've always talked about this time of year through July. You have to watch these markets because a lot of times we put in our high and our harvest month futures for whether it's corn or soybeans. A lot of times we hit these highs somewhere between now and July, and guys are busy farming and planting, but they really also should probably have some orders in just in case some of their triggers get hit and we get some short little rallies, whether it's overnight or during the day, have those orders in so they can possibly get hit and placed.
Having sell orders in place allows you to take advantage of a market when you're not watching it.
Absolutely, that is key. This time of year, you just never know when that's something's going to trigger, and all of a sudden, we're going to get that 10-minute or hour rally or whatever it might be. And again, whether it's overnight or during the day, you never know when it's going to hit. So I always encourage people, you know, have an order in place that works for them and their operation. You know, hopefully it's above your break even and you're making money. If you end up locking in the sale, it's profitable. You don't go broke making money. So Just know what those costs are for you and your operation, what your break-evens are, and so hopefully you can get some orders in place above that and they get triggered and placed. It'd be a great day.
You'll hear more from Rob Fronning in the latest Fielding Questions podcast, a presentation of Ag Country Farm Credit Services and the Red River Farm Network. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Planting for the year beginning for many as soil temperatures in some areas still a little bit cool. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has more.
AgriGold agronomist Nick Frederking says seed treatments typically protect against early season disease and pests, but the late start to planting may put plants at a disadvantage.
The problem is what we run into is after 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks max, those seed treatments start to wear off. They've either been degraded in the soil or they've been metabolized by the plant, and their efficacy has kind of run its course. So farmers should be planting with a high-quality seed treatment when they're putting their seed into these stressful conditions. But the fact of the matter is, when there is really slow emergence, the seed treatment doesn't go slowly with it, right? It still works its process over that 2 or 3 week period. And so after that 2 or 3 week period, we would love to see corn and beans at a normal growth stage where they could then protect themselves from these early season pressures.
Frederking warns farmers to keep an eye on their crops when there's slow emergence.
I think it's just important. We have to recognize that there are associated risks. I've seen in the past where seed corn maggot will burrow its way into a soybean seed, or a wireworm will eat through a corn kernel. But you can't lose sight that disease pressure is out there as well. So seedling dampening off, there's plenty of pathogens out there, Fusarium, Rhizoc, Pythium, you name it, they're there. The drive home message is when we plant in cool and wet soils, just cool soils in general, really, we have slow growth and we are subject to some of these risks.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
The Minnesota Department of Agriculture has opened applications for a new revolving loan program to support the state's small and medium-sized meat and poultry processors. The Meat and Poultry Intermediary Lending Program offers $15 million in low-interest loans for the startup, expansion, and operation of meat processing facilities. Loan applications will be reviewed on a rolling basis. Checking those markets, we have some green on the screen to start the week. We're up by 13 and a quarter for July Minneapolis wheat, 849 and a quarter. September 12 higher. Chicago wheat July, a 6 cent gain, and hard red winter wheat July, 16 and a half cents higher. July corn, 599 and a quarter. That's 2 3/4 higher. New crop corn steady. Soybeans July, 1445 and 3/4, 9 1/4 higher. New crop soybeans gaining 3 3/4 cents. As we check in on the farm calendar, the North Dakota Public Service Commission hearings on the carbon capture pipeline, our next hearing will be tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. That'll be held in Linton at the Emmons County Courthouse. Registration is open for the Rural Resilience Retreat, sponsored by NDSU Extension. That retreat will take place on May 13th. This upcoming Saturday at Washburn, North Dakota. Also, as we look into the farm calendar this morning, the NDSU Animal Science Department is hosting a Beef Field Day. May 24th is the date. They're showcasing research conducted at the Beef Cattle Research Complex and the NDSU Beef Unit. That's what's going on as far as agriculture. Country morning here on the Red River Farm Network. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.